asthma or what it is. But I'm going to need you guys to sing like you always do. And we're going to be singing together. So if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and have you guys stand up. And we'll go ahead and start singing, Lord, I Need You. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. We need him, don't we? Thank God for you guys. You sound beautiful lifting this up to the Lord just to praise him. We all can kind of look and say, boy, you know, as we were going through and getting on those kayaks and trying to get our steady feet and saying, Lord, I need you to keep me on this, you know, and we're worried about will it tip. It didn't. We never tipped. It was good. But it just reminded me of how much we need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, right? Amen. Don't lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge him in all our ways so that he can direct our paths. This next one is Love Lifted Me. You guys know this one. And I so appreciate you guys helping me, keeping it going. Sometimes I play the guitar, and I'm kind of my own person in my living room. When I play, I do my own rhythm, and you guys are so good at trying to say, what's she doing now? Trying to keep up with me. So you make me sound really good. Keep it up. So Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me when else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Is that true today? Yep, amen. I was thinking about just the bride of Christ and what it means to be the bride of Christ. And you know how it talked about the, in Matthew, talks about the 10 brides and how are the bridesmaids and how they weren't quite ready and some of them in various states of readiness. And about the bride, and you know, you were called the bride of Christ. And do you remember when Jesus Christ, when he finally laid his life down on the cross, and there were so many signs and wonders that took place, and one of them was that veil that was torn that separated us. And you know, as the bride of Christ, God took that veil away. You know, but before, when they were going to be wed to their husbands, or to their spouses, and the women would wear these veils. But when they finally met their husbands, you know, the veil would be lifted. That's what God did for us. When he took that and tore the veil, we were entered into his presence. And so, you know, sometimes we think there's something that we have to do to earn that standing. He did it for us. And we get that beautiful privilege of being the bride of Christ. And he cleanses us. And I'm so thankful for that. I put something together here. I love these two songs, and so you're going to help make this happen for us. We're going to sing two songs together and put together two songs. And one of them is Light of the World, and the other one is Refiner's Fire. I can tell I'm needing a little sip of water. Excuse me for a minute. Sorry. I do thank God. I know that I have several people who are praying for me. They knew that I was struggling with air quality control, whatever that means, and for me. So I appreciate you guys, your prayer in the family of God again. We'll sing this one just kind of as a prayerful thing. This is our coming to the Lord just as he is the light of the world. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted. exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, deep within. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, my Master. Choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thank you, Lord. You guys may be seated. Thank you. Is it prayer time? Do you want us to do the offering right now? The offering song, or are we waiting to the offering? Okay. Go ahead and sing while you're doing the offering. Sorry. All right. Brian? Sorry. Is this okay?
We'll do the offering first, and then we'll do the prayer.
I don't know how we're doing it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, just a minute. Get this right here.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care.
Everybody sing.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Have you had a good week? Excellent. Well, tell us about it, Dick. Been a busy week. I don't know about for you, but busy for me, trying to get cars back in order. When I told you somebody stole the catalytic converter off my daughter's car. And so now I think I've made it so they can't get it back off. I engraved the VIN number on it. I painted it orange. And I wrapped some cable around it and clamped it. So hopefully, if they want to get it off now, it's going to take them a long time. But,
well, I have to tell you, he showed me that picture yesterday. You wrapped it.
I wanted to wrap them, but they weren't available. But, yeah, that's a big thing they're doing now. And the new converters that you can buy, the good thing is they don't get as much money out of them as they do the older ones because all the valuable things aren't in them. They're made out of ceramic or whatever it is. So I saw online, the guy said he was doing like 200 a week, this muffler place. And he said the new ones are only going to get $8 off them, so maybe they won't cut them off now. But it's just a nightmare. They go into your car, they jack it up, take a Sawzall, they cut it off, and they drive away. Some of them can do it under a minute. Ours, it took, I think, 7, but we didn't, because we had the neighbor's camera, but we couldn't tell who they were. They just went between the cars and parked their car and then slid under, cut it off, and then jumped in and drove away. So if you have a Hyundai or any of those kind of cars, Honda, be careful where you park. They can do it right in your driveway, right in front of your house, any of those things like that. So we need to just pray that people will stop buying those things, stop making crimes, you know, so available for them and the money that they're getting out of them, that they'll be able to catch people. So anyway, that's been my week. Not bad, though. You know, things you got to do, you do. But we had fun kayaking yesterday. We had 8 kayaks out there, and we had some newbies. That's people that don't know anything. Those are new people. We call them newbies. So we had some newbies out there, and nobody fell in or anything. It was a fun time, so it was a It was a good time. We had a little picnic afterwards, and some went on a walk and different things. So, anybody have any praises to share this morning? Oh, I see that hand.
I just want to thank everyone for praying for Roger. Everything that could happen after his surgery happened to him, everything he could possibly get. But I feel that with the home health staff that we have now coming to the house, that they were sent by God. And the nurse is used to be a wound care before she started doing home health. And she's been wonderful. And I can see an improvement already just in this week that she's been coming. So I praise God for that, and I thank everyone for their cards and their prayers.
That's good news.
Now, many of you have prayed for my sister Bonnie in Coshocton, and it's been about 3 weeks now, but her new pacemaker is keeping pace with her. So she's kept real joyful in the Lord during this whole thing, which is a testimony to our whole family always. So just thank you for your prayers, all of you.
All right, Joy, you wait till I get all the way over here before you raise your hand. I need the exercise.
I just want to praise the Lord for watching over Graceland. She came through the surgery really well, and it didn't take as long as they might have expected. Of course, they allow for complications along the way, so I'm glad it was only maybe 5.5 hours. And again, yesterday, she was up walking, went to the playroom, and so that's kids for you, isn't it? But anyway, I just want to praise the Lord and thank you all for your encouragement and prayers, and especially the Lord for answering prayer.
Yeah, last week I talked about John Lewis. I can't get a hold of him. I got a text from his wife that he's delirious. I don't know if he's in his final hours or he's passed. A lot of my friends are older than me. I think of Byron, who's in the hospital at Riverside. I went to check on him Friday, and son took him because he's in so much pain and suffering. Then the man behind me that used to work on cars, Bob Miller, he's got lung cancer, and I attribute that to cigarettes. That's something you don't want to start. It's a bad habit. And lastly, I think of just people in general. I mean, think of Bob Harder, who's not here today because his knees hurt. And I just don't want him to give up hope and feel bad and sad for himself, because that's no way to be.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Be with those who couldn't be with us, those who might be sick or afflicted, those who are on vacation, those who just couldn't get out of the house or have some other commitment. So we pray you be with them this morning. Pam and Sam are on vacation. I'll be with them as well. I just pray for Russ this morning, Lord, that you would just touch him and get to the doctors and get the things taken care of that needs to be taken care of. And for little Gracelyn, Lord, with the surgery, that she's recovering well. We thank you for that. Lord, be with those for Roger as well, as you're helping to heal him, for my mom, and for all the other ones, Lord, that are going through rehab or have gone through surgeries or just struggling. Pray for those who may have some financial needs or relational needs or spiritual needs, that you would touch them this morning, Lord. Let them know they're not alone. Be with us this morning, Lord, that we can glorify you. Help us to remember as we take communion this morning what that's all about. And we just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Romans 3, 22 through 26. Paul talks about a righteousness through Christ. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ for those who believe. There's no difference. You know, we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Sometimes I think you put people in pedestals. This person is holier than this person. This person is better than this person because of what they wear, how they look, or how they dress. If they have piercings or tattoos, you know, we put it on a different level. It doesn't really mean anything. That's a physical thing. It's nothing to do with your spirit or your person or who you are. But he paid the price and the sacrifice for all of us through his blood. And he did it to demonstrate his justice and his commitment to us, that he would take the punishment for us. Even though we deserved it, he took that punishment in our place. And we look at communion, we think about those kinds of things that we're justified by faith through Christ. That's what makes us just. That's what makes us holy, is him, not us, nothing we can do. You can read your Bible 25 hours a day. There isn't 25 hours, right? But you could say you did it. It doesn't make you any more holy. But it does draw you closer to him and let you know what he thinks and what he wants as you spend time with him. And I know sometimes I get busy and I'm doing all these things, and by the end of the day I'm like, well, I've been praying to you, God, but did I read your word? It does make a difference in our life and how we see things from a different perspective, because sometimes I think we see things only one way, the way we think we need to see them. And God says, did you ever look at it from this way, from this direction? Maybe you went through that trial or struggle to make you stronger because somebody else is going to go through it, and they need you to come alongside and say, you know, I've already been there. I've done that. Or maybe something's going to come along that's going to be harder, and you're going to say, well, he was faithful in this, and he'll be faithful in the next part, and I can trust him through this. I don't need to get all stressed out about it. Hebrews 10, verses 5 and 10. It says, therefore, when the Lord came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You were not pleased. And then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. How many of us can say that? We've come to do God's will and not our own. A lot of times we want to do our own will, and God wants us to do something else. Sometimes we're not willing to look away from ourselves and do what he wants. We want to do what we want sometimes. And he said, here I am. Do we say that sometimes? Here I am. I'm available. Use me like you want to use me. Or do we just say, well, I'm too busy. I got too many things. I can't take time for that. I can't stop. A few weeks ago, I was driving into church. I don't know, probably on a Tuesday or Thursday. And I saw a guy laying in the ditch. As I'm driving by, I'm like, what is that guy doing in the ditch? So I didn't stop, but I should have stopped. But I thought, well, what if that guy's got a gun? What if he's drunk? You know, all these things run through your mind. So when I got here, I called, not the police, and said, you know, there's a guy over there by the school laying in the ditch. And they said, oh, we've got a call. We're on our way over there. And my wife said, did you stop? I'm like, well, I didn't, because first of all, it shocked me. Second of all, I thought, well, what would happen if he's just laying there and he shoots me and takes my car? So we leave him in a society that really puts us off from being, you know, helpers a lot of times. But I called, and they said that they'd, you know, going over to see the guy. But, you know, you wonder, what is going on in the world where somebody's just sleeping in the ditch? They're just laying there sleeping in the ditch. Was he drunk? Was he on drugs? I don't know what it was, but they went and checked him out. But are we willing to do those kinds of things? And it used to be years ago, you know, when you saw somebody hitchhiking, you could pick them up and you'd feel safe. Today, you're afraid you're going to get shot or, you know, your car taken or what it's going to be. So it's a hard kind of thing for us to think about others. And sometimes you do. You feel God's really directing you to do it, and you do it. And somebody says, well, you were dumb for that. And you're like, well, God told me I should do it, so I did it. So whose opinion do you listen to, his or do you listen to yours? So being Christian a lot of times is a sacrifice, isn't it? Sometimes you sacrifice some things. I've told you several times we sacrificed a lot of times sports on Sundays. Kids were in things when different in Australia and things like that, and for some reason they always had their sporting events on Sunday. And our kids would practice all week, and the final games would come on Sunday, and we'd be like, well, sorry, guys, you can't play because church is a priority. Well, you know, the thing, sport's not going to be here forever. Christ is going to be here forever. Eternity is going to be here forever. Relationship with Christ is forever. But if you miss a T-ball game, big deal. If you miss a soccer game or a football game, big deal. But sometimes we treat that as if that's the highest priority there is. When I think being in church and fellowship and getting to know people and spending time with the Lord and learning how to go through problems with his help is a bigger priority than sports. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about the nature of communion. He said, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you." That's something we need to do as well, pass on to our kids, our family, our friends, what we've learned as Christians. Because some kids don't even know who God is. They don't know who Jesus is, Noah, none of that stuff. Like, I don't know anything about that, and that's a sad thing. You used to be able to say, you know, Noah or Jonah, and kids are like, I know what that means. And now today they're like, who? You mentioned a rap star, they know who that is. But they know no Bible characters whatsoever. He said, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread and eat, remembering that Christ's body was broken for us. He took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's drink, remembering Christ's blood was shed for us. We do this so we remember that Christ's blood was shed for us. Here's a question for you this morning. Why do you wear a wedding ring? It's a remembrance. It's a symbol. So you remember, right? I have my wedding date engraved in there, so I don't forget when my wedding anniversary is. So it's a remembrance for me. If I'm like, what now? What year was it? 85, 83? What did I take it off? And I go, oh yeah, that's when it was. So I can never claim to my wife that I forgot her anniversary because it's always in my ring. But it's a symbol of undying love as well. That you love that person. That's forever. So it's remembrance. And it lets other people know that, you know, somebody loves me and I love them. As we take communion, it reminds us that God loves us and that we love him. Well, let's pray before we have our message this morning. Father, thanks for communion. For us communing with you, Lord, that we can take the bread and take the juice and remember your body was broken, your blood was shed, and it was done for us, even though we didn't deserve it. You still did it to make us clean and holy and righteous before you, and that you offer us a home in heaven as we accept you and your word. So bless your word this morning, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but it seems like more and more we're bombarded by noise, aren't we? There's noise, noise, noise. Everywhere you go, you're hearing noise. And we've lost the quiet space. You used to be able to go out in your yard or whatever, and it was quiet, you know. Even where Stephanie's at out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, country. There's noise. Train going by, cars going by, tractors, all kinds of things that we have. The spread of noise has caused an unprecedented loss of natural quiet in the 20th century. So here's two figures 3 and 4, that show from 1900 and then in 2000. So the first one's from 1900. And 20 to 25% of the continental U.S. was impacted by vehicle noise. So that's this one. Now the next one. Okay. Now the next one. There you go. This is today, how much noise there is today. The blue areas are the quiet spaces. And the yellow is where noise is impacting everything. So imagine how much noise that we have. It says in 2000, 97.4% of the U.S. was impacted. And today it's probably even higher, isn't it? You can't even hardly find a quiet space to go where you don't hear some kind of noise, whether it's a jet plane or a train or whatever it may be. But even go to the gas station, and you're at the pump pumping gas, and what do you hear? A little screen with an advertisement on it telling you about whatever, you know, product they're selling or whatever they want you to do while you're pumping your gas. Call for a doctor appointment to get put on hold. What do you hear? Music or an announcement or an advertisement or something that goes on there. Then you have television, internet, radio, cars, airplanes, trains, buses, motorcycles, animals, birds, people. Noise, noise, noise everywhere you go. How many of you listen to the radio in your car all the time when you drive somewhere? Mine's usually off. Occasionally I'll turn it on, but a lot of times if we take a long trip sometimes, I don't have anything turned on. because people in the car want to sleep sometimes, but I just like thinking about things as I'm driving along and not hearing things put in my mind all the time, that I can just kind of have quiet space. Well, we don't mind that kind of noise. That's the good noise. Because that means there's new life and creation and things are happening. You know what even affects animals? Noise even affects animals that's happening? Many animals rely on sound for a sense of survival, and they're susceptible to noise pollution or prolonged exposure. And how does it affect them? A lady named Sienna Malik talks about animals. She said, animals like humans use sound to communicate. Many species develop an instinctive calls to warn others, attract mates, and identify their own offspring in packs or crowds. Recordings were done by soundscape ecologists that have suggested that different species within a habitat have distinct sonic niches, or niche, depends how you want to pronounce it, sounding out their calls at different pitches or intervals other than the species to ensure they'll be heard. But humans disrupt that by airplanes and engines and construction and drowned out those important messages. Never thought about that before, did you? They're trying to communicate and we're putting these sounds out and they can't hear each other. Nocturnal and aquatic species have adapted their own low light environment frequencies. Bats and dolphins echolocate, emitting calls at a certain frequency, using echoes to identify objects. But human noise like traffic and sonar can distort their images and damage their hearing, causing them to change their pitch or adjust their pitch and lose their way. Didn't think about that either as I was doing this. Animals like owls and cats have evolved complex ears to help them hear the prey, but it's harder for them to do so in loud environments. Humans can barely perceive 1 decibel difference, but a study found that for every 1 decibel increase in noise, owls in the area were 8% less effective in catching prey. So the noises that we're putting out, they can't find their prey when they're out trying to find something. So imagine that in the city. All the noises that are going on in the country is probably not as bad, but in the city, all the noises bouncing off buildings and everything that happens. Susan McLeod says, when we think of the Garden of Eden, we think of silence. Peaceful silence at the beginning of all things. And the sounds that happen there are a reflection between God and man. What kind of sounds did he hear before all the animals were created? Just quiet. And sometimes we get uncomfortable with quietness, don't we? If I just stand here and say nothing. She didn't get the memo. But how many times do we feel awkward in silence? But silence is an okay thing. And sometimes if you're talking to somebody and they're having a bad day, they may not necessarily want your answer. They may want you just to sit there quietly and just be with them. But we sometimes think we have to interject, you know, what about this? Did you try that? I think this is it. And sometimes they don't want you to try to fix them. We just want you to listen to what they have to say. We need to go back to having times of silence in our lives. Mother Teresa describes it for us. She says, see how nature, trees, flowers, grass grow in silence. See the stars and the moon and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. Sometimes people have to just sit quietly and think. Because a lot of times you don't have time to process. There's too much stuff going on. You can't think what's happening. You got to have just time to sit down and think what's happening. What should I do next? What does God want me to do next? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and music is so loud you can't even talk to the person next to you? And you're like, how do we enjoy this when we can't even speak? So what you do is you get your phone out and text each other, right? No. You go somewhere else. You're like, this is too loud. We can't do this. But you get stressed, you get irritated, you can't communicate. That's why we need silence sometimes. Silence is a source of great strength, Lao Tzu said in 600 BC. An old German proverb expressed it like this: silence is a fence around wisdom. means you need to know when to be quiet and not open your mouth. That's a wise person that knows when to say nothing. Today there's scarcely any place that man is that noise is not. We talked about traffic is a paramount offender. Construction zones, large vehicles, motorcycles, lawnmowers, edgers, leaf blowers, sirens, loudspeakers, elevators, movie theaters, restaurants. Even the pricey restaurants are loud, right? Whether you go to McDonald's or whether you go to some pricey place, it's still going to be loud. But there's all this noise in the background. Sometimes just a little noise that's just there in the background. They're playing and you're trying to talk, but you still hear it. If you have tinnitus, you have it all the time, don't you? That little ringing that's happening all the time in your ear. Even when you go to bed and close your eyes and try to sleep, you hear that noise. Some people it really bothers. To me, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind that. When I go to sleep at night, everything's off. I don't listen to anything. My wife likes to listen to the radio or computer or talk or whatever she listens to, and I don't do that. I just have nothing. I like just listening to nothing because it's quiet. And then I pray and talk to God and think about things through the day. But there's an implied insult in the assumption that the company we're with, or even our own company if alone, is not sufficient to occupy us and must be supplemented by the choice and decision of some arbitrary outside force. That means we don't think we can be quiet ourselves. It's not good enough. We need some kind of noise around us. And I sometimes use noise when I'm doing things. If I'm preparing something, I sometimes have noise in the background. Sometimes the noise is me screaming at the TV, right, when these NBA playoff games that are happening. If you've been watching those, I don't know which side of the fence you're on for that, but I was yelling at the TV the other day because I thought the refs were being totally unfair. But even that's noise, isn't it? Even we make noise sometimes when we don't need to. And how about your home appliances? Your TV, your refrigerator, your freezer, all kinds of things that are making noise, electrical buzz. Noise causes issues for us, though, doesn't it? Said noise can cause conditions like stress, high blood pressure, sleeplessness, speech interference, hearing loss. It can also cause forgetfulness, depression, and panic attacks because the noise is going on all the time. You don't get a break from it. Not only our ears, but our minds and our spirits are bombarded with discord and ugliness. And every day noise under the radar affects everybody's life, even if you don't notice it. Sometimes there's noise going on, or they pump noise into some place, music or whatever it is, into your mind. Whatever happened to the sound of silence? I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about just the sound of silence, being silent, being quiet, and just not saying anything. I love those pictures of the older couples, which are way older than me, just sitting next to each other and saying nothing, just holding hands and just sitting there looking out at the park, or looking out at the water, and they're just sitting there together. And they don't say something all the time. They just kind of sit there and enjoy the time. How many of us live in environments or work in environments or read or try to pray in an environment where there's noise? Whatever it is, conversations. It's been said that we hear more in silence and feel more in silence, and we perceive more in silence than we do when there's noise. Because when you're silent, you get a chance to think, don't you? Think about the day. What's going on? You hear? What did I hear? What's going on? But if somebody's talking and talking and talking, you can't hardly process a lot of times. So I don't know if you ever got in an argument with your spouse or friend or whatever it is, but during the argument, a lot of times, do you give a response right away? Sometimes I don't. I'm just quiet and I'm like, I can't process this right now. I gotta just think about it for a minute. Otherwise, you say something stupid and you can't take that back. So you better just say, yep, let me just think about this for a minute before you make a response. An inability to stay quiet is one of the most conspicuous failings of mankind. Come into a room with people, and I'll bet you within 20 seconds, somebody has to say something. If you just stand there like this, somebody'd be like, well, it's a nice day outside, isn't it? Well, did you see the news? Because I don't know why, we just can't take silence for some reason. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. That means you don't always need to say what's on your mind. Even if you're upset, sometimes just be quiet and just hold it back. You can be more wise in that way. Some people stand ready to speak out when they're offended. They want to make a comment. They want to make a reply. But there's strength in controlling your tongue and being silent, saying nothing. Mark 14, the message. In the middle of this is about Jesus. The chief priest stood up and asked Jesus, what do you have to say to the accuser? The accusation. Jesus was silent. He said nothing. The chief priest tried again, this time asking, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? So he questioned him at some length, but he made no response. You know, Jesus could have dismissed all that in one word, right? He could have said, be gone, I'm done, I'm not doing this, whatever he wanted to say. He could have been very eloquent in his speech, gave a good speech in defense. But he chose to say nothing, even though he did nothing wrong, because he knew he had a mission, didn't he? He knew he had something he had to do. He didn't have to defend himself. He was righteous. Charles Spurgeon said this, there are times when solitude is better than society and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on his word, spiritual strength for labor and his service. We ought to muse upon the things of God because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. He's not talking about neglecting your clothes closet, is he? He's talking about neglecting your prayer closet. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to keep silent. And it makes sense because sometimes you don't have to talk. It's the art of wisdom is one to be quiet. But in society, we unanimously voted on speaking. Everybody has to give an opinion, don't they? About this, and your opinion about that, and your opinion about that, and your opinion about that. We don't have discussions anymore, right? We just have arguments. Somebody can't have a different point of view because they're wrong if they differ from me. Why can't we say, well, that's what you believe, but this is what I believe, and just let that go? Well, we don't do that now. If you say something against me, then you're wrong. Then you got to post everything on social media. You even got to post your food, what your food looked like, what your coffee looked like, what drink you had. And if you do that, that's your thing. To me, I don't care. I don't care what you ate. I mean, if you like that, that's good. But to me, it doesn't really matter. But the crowd thought they were going to silence Jesus, didn't they? Took him to trial, took him to Pilate. Pilate ended up letting the criminal go, right? Crucifying Jesus because the crowd was screaming and screaming and screaming at him. He didn't do the right thing. He did what he was pressured into because of the crowd. And they thought they won, didn't they? They thought they won. When Jesus is on the cross, when he was crucified, when he's in the grave, they thought that he won. But that wasn't the end, was it? Because he rose from the grave, didn't he? Broke the power of sin and death, gave us the power of heaven, forgiveness. All the hostility that happened at that day was for nothing. Because he knew he had greater power, didn't he? He knew what was coming next. He knew he had to go through that to get to where he was going to be. But it seems odd to say there's power in silence, because we usually think power is when this guy wins the argument, right? Or this guy outwits this person or whatever it is. But sometimes silence is an effective weapon. Sometimes being silent is good because people don't know what you're thinking. They don't know your strategy. They don't know your plan. If you're in war and the enemy hears nothing from you, that's good because they don't know what your plan is. But now we put it on TV everywhere. We're flying here. We're bombing here. We're sending troops here. We tell them everything before we get there. It used to be you don't want the enemy to know what you're going to do. Now we tell everybody what we're going to do, right? We just need to be quiet and do what needs to be done. Because silence sometimes exudes confidence and strength. But how can we be confident today in our silence? Because we need strength, we need wisdom, guidance, blessings, and peace. Because there's so much noise out there happening to us. It's affecting us physically and spiritually, mentally. Remember the verse in the Bible where he says, "Be still and know that I'm God"? Do we do that today? Be still and know that I'm God. What does that mean? It means stop running around, be quiet, rest, quiet your thoughts. Don't speak so you can have opportunity to hear what God has for you. Remember that movie, The War Room? Talked about The War Room? Where she was battling in prayer, right? Went to her closet. That's what it's talking about. Get to a place where you can be quiet. If you have to go to your closet, go to your closet to get away from the noise. Go outside. Go to the basement. Go in your car, wherever it can be, to get quiet. Because it doesn't matter what job you have, how much money you have, what title you have, the power of God is greater than all those things. And you only get that power by going to Him and asking for help, for strength, for the Holy Spirit to fill you. And then what does He tell us after we get that power? When the disciples were in the upper room, He said, wait for that power to come, right? And it came, what did they do? They just sit there and say, oh, this was nice, we got power. No, they went out and used it, didn't they? They testified to multitudes, and multitudes were saved. The people were healed, and all kinds of things happened because they used the power that the Lord gave them. And we have that same spirit today, the same power that directed and gifted them directs and gifts us. It's not just to admire, go, oh, you have that gift, that's nice. He wants you to use it. It's like people who have new cars, and they stay in the garage and never drive them. They're like, that's a nice new car you got, but you never drive it, right? It's a car. It's just to be used. We drive them. Tools, we use those things, right? Clothes, you wear them. That's what they're for, to use them. Well, I had an opportunity last week when we were on our vacation to talk to a young person, and they had had a rough life. Their parents are both drug addicts. They're divorced. The dad's homeless and lives, I think, behind a sign or something like that in the city. The mom has nothing to do with the person. And we were just having a conversation. We were just talking. And that's what he wants us to do, have a conversation with somebody, just talk. And I wasn't planning anything. We were just talking. And then that person said, well, you know, my dad doesn't believe in Jesus. He believes God is everything, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. And they said, well, I believe in Jesus. And I said, well, that's good, because you know you have to receive and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior to go to heaven. They said, yeah, I know that. But I wonder why my dad doesn't believe that. And I said, well, I'm not sure. But and then they said, well, I know he's not going to heaven because he didn't accept Jesus. And I said, yeah. And I said, we know, that's sad. I said, but he has a choice. But even those little conversations like that, that we don't plan, that we allow God to use us, that's sharing, isn't it? That's using our gifts that we have to talk to others about Christ. Doesn't it be slap them on the head with your Bible? Just a conversation like that. And that just came up. That wasn't something I don't plan to do that. I don't go out in restaurants and try to find people and ask them questions. And some do that. That's their thing. But Satan wants us to share in conversations when it comes up. It may feel weird. It may feel awkward. But those are times he doesn't want us to be silent. He wants us to say something. But the enemy wants us to be distracted. He wants to keep us from making time to be with God. He wants us to keep from sharing with somebody. He wants us to hide our Christianity and kind of go with the flow, but that's not what Jesus did. He actually went against society because he knew he had the truth. He just wants us to speak the truth to those who don't know. So what do we do today about this? Start making a time to purposely be quiet. Whether it's on your drive to work and you just turn the radio off, whether it's in your home, whatever it may be, just take time to be quiet and say, God, what do you have for me today? And see what he says. And then do something with it. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks for being with us. Help us to know, Lord, when there's times when we should be quiet, hold our tongue, be confident in you that you have the answers and we don't need to argue. But also help us to have times, Lord, when we know what we're supposed to do. When we're supposed to share and we're supposed to talk about you with others. Give us your strength today. Guide us and direct us. Protect us in your name. Amen.
go ahead and stand. And, you know, this we'll just go through that Refiner's Fire song again. And think about what it means to wait and to be still. And just practicing being in God's presence and knowing that he wants to speak. We're so quick to speak to him. But to be realizing God has called us to be holy, but we can't create that holiness on our own. We need God's holiness. And the only way to get that, the best way to get that, is to wait and say, Lord, work in me. Reveal in me what you want for me. So again, as Pastor Bob is saying, let's make sure that we wait and give God time to work his refining power in us to be able to be holy through us and use us for his glory. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Father, we just pray right now that you would have your will in us, be glorified through us and all that we do and say. Be with us, give us safety on the roads and just to be able to lift you up in our names, in your name, and in the things that we are doing. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.